It'll build on some things that we've seen already and introduce us to some new ideas. The Heilige Nesivos Shalom, the Slonim Rebbe. He passed away in Tavshin Samach, year 2000, right before I went to Eretz Yisrael. Shana Aleph is when the Slonim Rebbe was nifter, and his farm had become very, very popular. And when people ask me for a good sefer if they want to start learning Chassidus, but they don't want anything too intense, they don't want something that's completely overwhelming, the Nesivos Shalom is written in a way that's very understandable and accessible. So it's an important work, and a lot of it's been translated into English in recent years. Okay, so let's learn this piece in the Nesivos Shalom on Chanukah, page 54. It's called Keser Elyon Ihu Keser Malchus. Keser Elyon, well, Keser means a crown. Keser Elyon, the supernal crown, is the Keser Malchus. Okay, Yehuda's already his wheels are spinning. Okay, so let's
I'm
not
happy
be.
you said this is simple.
Okay, let's see. It is simple. It is simple. I know that's the scariest part of the piece, the title. Okay, let's see. Issa b'svarim hakadoshim, we find in the holy works of Chassidus. Shemitzvos ner Chanukah hi achrona mizayin mitzvos derabanan. We mentioned this once. How many mitzvos are there? There's 613 mitzvos from the Torah. Last one. Chanukah, which was created during Bayis Sheni, that's when the Chanukah miracle happened. It's our last holiday. It's our last real mitzvah derabanan, mitzvahs ner Chanukah. And therefore, says the Nesivos Shalom, Ner Chanukah is the mitzvah achrona of the seven mitzvahs derabanan. Shetaryag mitzvahs deoraisa, bitziruf zayin mitzvahs derabanan, when we take the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah and the seven mitzvahs derabanan, it's a total of 620 mitzvahs, ha'ola leminyan keser, which is gematria, 620 is keser, is a crown. Is a crown. And with the mitzvah of Chanukah, we've, so to speak, completed the crown. Now, I told you from the Vilna Gaon that in the Aseres HaDibros, which serves as sort of a microcosm of Kol HaTorah Kula, those Ten Commandments that were introduced to in Parshas Yisro have 620 letters in the Aseres HaDibros, corresponding to the 620 mitzvos, which emerge from those 620 letters. But Chanukah, so to speak, is the crown. What does that mean? Nimsa shal yedei mitzvah zu shal ner Chanukah, that through somehow the creation, the establishment of mitzvahs ner Chanukah, we completed and solidified the Keser HaMelech, the crown of the king. Okay? Now, what does that mean? Va'inyin, and the idea is, as we find in the Pasach Eliyahu, which is an introduction to the Tikkuni Zohar, which is printed in your Nusach Svar Tzidur, for those who have a Nusach Svar Tzidur at the beginning. Keser Elyon Ihu Keser Malchus Va'ale Itmar Magid Mireshis Achris. So, Chaver, let's pause for a second. Let's talk about the ten Sviros. Okay, what are the ten Sviros? Well, that's a great question. The ten Sviros, I guess one could say, are ten different emanations, manifestations of Hashem, ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with the world and filters, so to speak, kiviyachol. Everything is, you know, a mushel, but it's a way that God, so to speak, filters his infinite light down to this world. Okay, so the top of the ten spheros is called Keser. Then you have, on the right side, you have Chachma. Oh, that's not a really great right side. On the left side, you have Bina. Okay, and then as you work your way downward, you have, sometimes you have something called Das, like Chabad, Chachma Bina Das, as you can see what I'm drawing for you. Okay, but Das is not really one of the ten spheros. Keser, Chachma Bina, Chesed on the right, Gvura on the left, Tiferes in the middle, Tiferes, sorry, it's very hard to draw on the screen, Netzach on the right, Hod on the left. If you've ever been to Svat, you've seen this on a lot of artwork, Yesod in the middle, and then the bottom is what we call Malchus. Okay? So these are the ten spheros, from Keser to Malchus. Keser being the crown, Chochma, Bina, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus. These are ten different filters by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with the world. Now again, you recognize from Sfiras HaOmer, from the 7 weeks of Sfiras HaOmer, right, that the 7 weeks of Sfiras HaOmer correspond to the lower seven spheros, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus. So each of the 7 weeks of Sfira, we're working on fixing, on correcting one of these attributes, one of these characteristics, which is embodied by God, and that we try to live with as well. They also correspond to the 7 Ushpizin of Sukkot. Who's Chesed? Chesed is Avraham. Who's Gvura? Gvura is Yitzchak. Who's Tiferes? Tiferes is Yaakov. Netzach is Moshe. Aaron is Hod. Yosef HaTzadik is Yesod. And David, who of course, David Malka Mashiach, is Malchus. Okay? So they correspond to different Torah personalities, different character traits embodied by us and by Hashem. Interesting to note, again, that the top of it is called Keser, and the bottom is called Malchus. Interesting, because Keser Malchus means the crown of the king. So when we talk about Keser Malchus, we're sort of talking about the fullness of the Sfiros from the highest point to the lowest point. Does that make sense, what I just tried to describe? Did that make any sense? From Keser to Malchus means from the top to the bottom. So it says in this passage in the Tikkuni Zohar, Keser Elyon, Keser on top, Ihu Keser Malchus. Interesting. That somehow the highest point and the lowest point have to somehow unify. Now we know that from various aspects of our life. We know it from the fact that when we finish reading the Torah, we immediately start the Torah over. We like to connect the end back to the beginning. We like to unify the highest and the lowest. In a certain sense, that's what Chanukah is. Let's just talk for a second before we read on a little bit further in the Sefer. That's really what Chanukah is, the connecting of the highest and the lowest. Who would you say is the highest Jew? The highest Jew is the Kohen Gadol. The Pach Shemen that was discovered had the seal of the Kohen Gadol. Who is the Kohen Gadol? Which Kohen Gadol? What Kohen Gadol? Was it Avram Avinu, like we learned, maybe? Right? The original Kohen Gadol? Maybe Hashem is called Kohen Gadol? Aaron, certainly. Aaron HaKohen is certainly Kohen Gadol. Different opinions, again, exactly where this oil came from. But one thing is clear from the Gemara, it had the seal of the Kohen Gadol. And we think of the Kohen Gadol as HaKohen HaGadol Me'achav, as it says in Parshas Emor. The Kohen who is Gadol, who is great, and greater than the others. The Kohen Gadol who has the unique opportunity to go into Kodesh Kadashim once a year. And yet, that Pach Shemen, with the seal of the Kohen Gadol, the greatest Jew, so to speak, the Kohen Gadol who also sort of wears a crown, right? The tzitz that he wears on that headpiece that the Kohen Gadol wears. It's interesting that the Kohen Gadol's Pach Shemen was found where? In the lowest of places. As we learned last week, where was the Pach Shemen found, according to Tosfos and Maseches Shabbos? Buried in the dirt. So we see sort of this unification of the highest and the lowest. In a certain sense, Ner Chanukah is the lowest. It's the last mitzvah. It's only a mitzvah derabanan. It's almost like an afterthought. You can look at it at the end of all mitzvos, kind of the lowest point in the chain. But it's also the Keser. It's also mitzvah 620, which means it's sort of the highest. Another way to say it, as the Lubavitch Rebbe maybe would have said it, is we could see ourselves, Chevra, listen carefully, at the end of time, we could see ourselves as the last generation, or we could see ourselves as the first generation. In a certain sense, we're the last generation of Galus, but we're also the first generation of Geula. We're the first generation to greet Mashiach. So we're living in a time, the Ikvus of the Mashiach, this period before Mashiach comes, is sort of this strange combination of the highest and the lowest. You see movement in opposite directions. You see sometimes people who were raised in nice, frum families going off the derech, and then you see people who grew up with nothing becoming these like really inspired Balei Tshuva. It's this very strange movement of highest and lowest sort of touching once again, making contact with each other once again. I know I shared with some of you before, but I'll tell you the story again because it's such a gewaldic story. That the Rebbe of Zidichov was once with the Brisker Rav. And they were talking Torah, and the Zidichov Rebbe said, you know, according to the Medrash, Adam HaRishon we know is buried in Maris HaMachpelah. But Adam HaRishon was so gadol, he was so tall, that he couldn't fit into Maris HaMachpelah. So they had to fold him in half in order to fit him into Maris HaMachpelah. Okay, that's what Chazal say. So the Zidichov Rebbe said, Brisker Rav, you know what that means? If you fold someone in half, right, that means that their feet touch their head. If you literally fold someone in half, that means the heel, the bottom, is touching the rosh. The okev is touching the rosh. And when the Brisker Rav understood what he was hinting to, the Brisker Rav, I read this in a sefer, he jumped out of his chair. He said, whoa, that's a big thing. That somehow the Jews at the end of time, and I'm talking about us, I'm not talking about some theoretical, you know, Jew. I'm talking about us, every one of us. These Jews at the end of time, somehow, even though we think Yeridas Hadoros, we're the lowest, in a certain sense, we're the greatest, we're the highest, we're the loftiest. The way Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin said, in the name of Rav Simcha Bunu of Preshischa, that even though Yeridas Hadoros on an external level is true, on an internal level, on an akuda pnimis, with each passing generation, the innermost point, as it survives another generation, another round of gullus, another round of difficulty, becomes more and more refined. In other words, it's like a diamond. Diamonds are formed in dark caverns under tremendous heat and pressure, right? In very unexpected places, beautiful diamonds emerge. So that's what we're experiencing now. We're living in a time of tremendous darkness. We're in the middle of the longest gullus ever. And we're clutching at this little nair, this little flame, this last of mitzvos. But says the Zohar, no, you have to understand. Magid me reishis achris. There's a link between the beginning and the end. Reishis hakeser, hi ha mitzvah harishona, shenemra besinai beis matan Torah. Where is the beginning of the crown? Where is mitzvah number one? Not mitzvah 620. Let's go back to the beginning. The beginning is Jewish people at Har Sinai, like we learned about last week. Klal Yisrael reaching such a high level that we heard God speak to us. Beheyos Klal Yisrael b'shei hamadregos. We had reached the pinnacle of levels that a person could achieve in this world. The heavens open up. Niftachu kol zayin harakiyim v'ro'a hakol she'ein od milvado. That's what Har Sinai was. Jews were on such a lofty level that we reached the level of angels. Nis'alu ledargas malachim mala. Like an angel who can't choose to do wrong. Almost like Adam HaRishon, Kodem HaChet, before Adam ever sinned, that's where the Jews reached at Har Sinai, the highest of places. The Keser, so to speak, the crown. We stood at Har Sinai, the seven heavens opened up, we looked up, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Ein Od Melvado. It was crystal clear to us. As David HaMelech says, Ani Amarti Elokim Atem, or Elohim Atem, Uvenei Elyon Kulchem. We became Bnei Elyon, Keser Elyon, like we said before. Chanukah is mitzvah 620. It's sort of the bottom end of the crown, whatever that means. The achres hakeser, the last, the end of the keser, the end of the crown, the 620th mitzvah, 613 from the Torah and 7 derabanan, hi a mitzvah achrona, mitzvahs ner Chanukah. Shenetakna b'shosh ha-yisrael b'shofel ha-matzav ha-yorid b'yoser. The mitzvah of Chanukah came about not when Jews were on a spiritual high, but when Jews were so low that there were only a handful of fighters who were willing to fight for their Yiddishkeit, like we learned yesterday. Ala milchamos, thank you Hashem for the few Jews who actually realized that we were falling apart. Because Klal Yisrael was falling apart, we were losing our authentic Judaism. Achayedome ki avda achrisim chas v'shalom. To the point that it looked like timu kol hashmarim shebeheichal, you understand? That everything was ruined. So you have the Keser Elyon, you have the top of the crown, which is God talking to us at Har Sinai. And then you have the bottom of the 620, the last of the mitzvos, which is Chanukah, which represents a Jew, so to speak, in his lowest moments. V'zeh merumas b'kedushas Keser. And this is alluded to in the tefillah, the Musaf, that again, some of us might say on Shabbos, if you daven the Sech Ashkenaz, not so. But if you daven the Sech Sfard, or if you daven Nusach Ari, if you say Tfilas Keser as part of your Kedusha and Musaf, what do we say? Keser Yitnu Lacha Hashem Elokeinu. A crown shall be bestowed upon you, Hashem. And who gives Hashem the crown? Chavra, look carefully. Malachim Hamoni Mala Im Amcha Yisrael Kevutze Mata. It's the Malachim at the top, and it's Klal Yisrael gathered all the way down below. All the way down below. The Malachim Hamone Mala Im Amcha Yisrael Kavutze Mata. What does that mean? B'tchil Malachim Hamone Mala V'zeu Reishis HaKeser. The top of the crown is, so to speak, the angels crowning Hashem. Or maybe, says the Nesiv HaShalom, it's us at Har Sinai when we were angelic. At the beginning of our journey, hearing God talk at Har Sinai, Kasher Hayu Yisrael B'Bechinas Malachim, when we were angels. So there's a part of the crown that represents the angels above. Im amcha Yisrael kivutze mata. Along with what? With the Jewish people, us regular Jews, tafshin pe aleph, Kislev, it's cold, it's winter. We're not even able to sit together, but we're trying to connect and we're trying to stay warm. We're trying to stay alive, right? We're far from angelic. We're far from angelic. But you know what? The crown is a combination of what? Of Malachim Hamone Mala, Im Amcha Yisrael Kivutze Mata. The highest point, the Jews at Har Sinai, and the lowest point. The Jews what? The Jews who are lighting their menorahs, the last mitzvah that was ever established. Mitzvah 620, Keser. That really completes the crown. Kemoshe Tzok, Pamachas, one time, the Rebbe, the Divrei Shmuel of Slonim, who was the second Slonim Rebbe, he cried out, he said, they were saying Keser, and he said, Im Amcha Yisrael Kvutze Mata Mata Mata. I love that. He says, the angels above, with the Jews who are Kvutze, who are gathered below, below, below. It's kind of like Yavan, remember? Yod, Vav, Nun. That the Jews were down, down, down. The Jews were all the way on the bottom. If you're the bottom of the barrel, you're the end of history. You're the last Jew, you know? The way that Rav Yonasan Eibshitz once explained it is that when the Nachash, you know, contaminated Chava and Adam, but really more Chava, so that poison, the Zuamas HaNachash as it's called, the filth, the impurity of the Nachash, affected Chava, and by extension, Adam and Chava, it affected all Jewish souls. Now, the way that it works is that your neshama, until you're born in the world, has been waiting a long time to be born, right? And it's sort of sitting like a holding vessel in Shemayim, which means that if you get your neshama kind of out of that place and into, you know, into the game, if you get checked into the game a little bit earlier, so that means you're spending less time in that holding receptacle, right? And if you're sitting there for a long time, if your neshama has been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and you were only born in, I don't know, Avi, when were you born? What year were you born?
2000.
2000, wow. Okay, so you guys were born right as the Nesiva Shalom was leaving this world. Yeah, some of you at least. Okay, so you were born in the year 2000, right? I was born in 1981. So that means that I got out of the, now again, the Nachash in Gan Eden, so to speak, poisoned the bucket. He spit some of his venom into the bucket, where all of our neshamas were being held. Which means that those of us who got out earlier, hopefully, absorbed less of that poison. Those who get out later, Rav Yonasan Eibshitz explained, if I'm not mistaken, are sitting in the bucket, so to speak, with the poison for longer. Right? And that's why when we have a certain hierarchy, a certain respect for earlier generations, because we feel that they were more pure than us. In the sense that they were able to begin their mission. They were selected, you know. They got checked into the game. They were like the starters on the team that got to play from the beginning of the game. And now, you know, at the end of the game, we let everyone get a couple of seconds off the bench, right? But the Jews who are mata, 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 those who are all the way at the bottom, so to speak, the bottom of the bucket, that's why it made me think of this idea, right? The mata, mata, mata Jews, the Jews who represent the Hanukkah Jews, Bechinas lemata me'asara. Where do we put the Ner Chanukah? We place the Ner Chanukah lemata me'asara. Lemata me'asara means below 10 tfachim. The Ner Chanukah is placed below 10 tfachim. What does that mean? Normally, the Gemara says that Hashem's Shechina doesn't come below 10 tfachim. Gemara in Sukkah. On Chanukah, the optimal place to place the menorah is between 3 and 10 tfachim. So, Dafka on Chanukah, it's Hashem reaching out to the Jew who's in a place that's below the place of the Shechina. Ki mehem ola keser ha-melech. But the irony of it all, and the paradox of it all, and the wondrous love that Hashem expresses for us through Chanukah, is that what? Is that the lowly Jew at the bottom is going to be the one to complete the keser melech. Shebechinas zu ha'isa b'chanukah, she'oz nishlam ha-keser ha-elyon. We complete the Keser Elyon on Chanukah. Chaver, if I were to ask you in one word, let's do a little experiment. If I were to ask you, tell me in one word the mission statement of the Jewish people, what would you say? I know what you're going to say, and that's not the one I'm looking for, but say it. Go, say it. Who wants to say it? Come on, what did we learn last week? Say it in one word.
Anochi,
right? We learned last week Anochi. That's one way to say it. Good. And that's not what I'm looking for. Good. Give me another way to say the mission statement of a Jew. I'll let you do it in two words. A pasuk in Chumash. What is Hashem's greatest desire, as the Medrash tells us, in the Medrash Tanchuma and Parshas Naso? Say it like a Lubavitcher. What does Hashem want? Hashem's greatest desire is what?
Dira b'tachtonim.
Hashem wants to dwell in the lower realms. Hashem doesn't want to just be Keser Elyon. Hashem wants to be Keser Malchus. You understand? Hashem doesn't want to just be, so to speak, the crown above. Hashem wants Malachim Hamoni Mala Yim Amcha Yisrael Kvutze Mata Mata Mata. Hashem wants us. What word in the Torah says that? What word in the Torah explains Hashem's desire to dwell amongst us? Hashras Hashchin Vishachanti Besocha. Right? Like it says, make me a mikdash, vishachanti besocham. Okay? What's the gematria of the word vishachanti? Let's do a little gematria. What's the gematria of the word vishachanti? Hashem says, I want to dwell. And I want to dwell, that context means I want to dwell amongst you. What's the gematria of vishachanti? Just a thought I had this morning. You'll tell me if you like it. What's the gematria of the word vishachanti? Who's got it? No, we'll do it together. What do you say? Vishachanti, anyone?
786.
786. Okay, Vishachanti. Hashem says, I want to dwell, not just in the Shemayim. Make me a Beis HaMikdash, which the Yavanim, by the way, are trying to destroy, right? To defile, to pervert. They say, we don't want this house of holiness in our midst. Hashem says, Vishachanti, what do you mean? I want to be in this world. The Yavanim say, God, we also believe in God, but the gods are out there. Keep the gods out there. Keep the gods above. Hashem says, no, Vishachanti, I want to be in this world, right? I want my crown to be not only a Keser Elyon, but I want it to be a Keser Malchus. Okay, so I realized this morning that what's the gematria of Keser Elyon? So Keser, we said, is 620. Elyon is 166. So Keser Elyon, right, is 786, is gematria of Vishachanti. Why? Because Hashem says, I want the Keser Elyon above to be Vishachanti Besocham. I want it to be amongst you. Look at the word Elyon. You know what Elyon is? And we spoke about it in a shir a couple of years ago. Not going to go into it now, but think of it. Al Yavan, that's right. Al Yavan. If you want to overpower Yavan, Al Yavan. The way that Keser Elyon, the way that you give honor to Hashem, Al Yavan, is making sure that the Keser Elyon is also a Keser Malchus. And again, that's the quote, that's the title of this piece. Keser Elyon, Ihu Keser Malchus. It's one and the same. If you're going to crown God over the world beyond, and you're not going to crown Hashem over your life in this world, if you're not going to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into your materialism. Again, the Yavanim were very big on the material. The Greeks emphasized the material, right? But our job is to take the material and to make it godly. That's why the Sfarim say Chanukah is gematria guf. Because Chanukah, right, even though you'll say it's ironic, what do you mean Chanukah, we're fighting for our souls? Yes, but also, we have to realize that the goal is to expand the soul into the guf, right? That the guf shouldn't be a separate domain from, I'm a philosopher in one domain, and I'm also a person who enjoys the pleasures of the guf in a different domain. The goal is to unify the two, to be literally, right, anshe kodesh, to be holy human beings, like the Kotzker Rebbe said, anshe kodesh, like the Pasuk says in Mishpatim, human, anshe, but kodesh, but also holy. Keser Elyon, Keser Malchus. Okay? Chaver, let's read a little bit more inside. V'inyin ha-keser elyon hu sod ha-tefillin. Now, this is interesting. You also wore a crown today, I hope. I'm assuming everyone wore a crown today. What crown did you wear on your head this morning? You wore tefillin. Also a yarmulke, Evan. Also, you're wearing a crown right now. That's also true. But tefillin is your crown. V'inyin keser elyon hu sod ha-tefillin. Like the Gemara says in Brachos, Shakadosh Baruch Hu meniach tefillin, umakom hatefillin hu b'makom hakeser. We wear tefillin, the Gemara says, and Hashem wears tefillin. Interesting. As the Zohar says, tefillin demare alma keser. The tefillin of the master of the world are keser, are a crown. V'chein merumas shamba pasach Eliyahu, it says over there as well in Pasach Eliyahu in the Tikkuni Zohar, Keser Elyon, Ihu Keser Malchus, V'Ihu Karkafta de Tefillin. This is a head, a skull that wears tefillin. It's like wearing a crown. Interesting. Va'amru sham bebrachos. In the Gemara, that I'm sure some of us have learned before, at the beginning of brachos, davav, what does it say in Hashem's tefillin? What does it say in our tefillin? Hane tefillin demare alma maksiv behu. What is written in the tefillin of Hashem? Umi ka'amchi Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. Right? Who is like the nation? Mi ka'amchi Yisrael. Who is like my people, the Jewish people? Goy echad ba'aretz. They're a one-of-a-kind nation. What's written in our tefillin? Our tefillin says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What's written in Hashem's tefillin? Hashem praising us. We praise Hashem. Hashem praises us. Hashem says, wow, who's like the Jewish people? And we say, wow, who's like our God? Umikan sod kiyumo shal am Yisrael. Sha'keser elyon mora ala nitziros shal am Yisrael. Shemi ka'amchi Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. Hashem's crown, i.e. Hashem's tefillin, which declare Hashem saying, wow, there's no one like the Jewish people. The Christian notion that God gave up on the Jews and decided to move on to, you know, to someone else. No, Mika goy echad ba'aretz, we're one of a kind. Hashem will never replace us with anyone. That's what's written on the crown of Hashem. Hashem's respect and love and belief in us. V'zeo koach ha'nitzchi ha'omid l'ham li'Yisrael. That's our ability to always survive. The fact that Hashem has said, you're the goy echad ba'aretz. You're the one nation that has to be, that will always be. Bereishis b'shvil Yisrael shenikareishis, right? When Hashem began the whole vision of the world, from the starting point, Hashem had us in mind. That there's nothing else in the world that could replace us, that could take our place in the world. So the Yavanim came along, and what did the Yavanim claim? The Yavanim claimed, not so fast. That the ability for a Jew to not be defeated is rooted in the fact that what? He has a place by the crown. Right? That we are the crown jewel in Hashem's tefillin. Al-Kain hishkiu es kol kochos b'nekudazu. So you know what the Yavanim tried to do? When our crown, our tefillin declare our belief, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and Hashem's crown, the Keser Elyon declares, Mika Amchi Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz. So you know what the Yavanim tried to do? They tried to find a way and put all their energy into explaining that we're not inextricably bound to God. That we don't have to be connected to Hashem. Now I know this is the theme we were learning a little bit last week. Let's see it again. They wanted Lahafrid ben Advekim, Lenatek es Yisrael Mikadosh Baruch Hu. To draw a line of separation between us, where heaven and earth don't meet. That's what the Beis HaMikdash is. Why did they attack the Beis HaMikdash? Because Beis HaMikdash is the meeting place of Shema Ba'aretz. It's the place where Keser Elyon and Keser Malchus get together. So they targeted things that would try to tear us apart. Ulefichach gazru aleim kis karen ashur, she'ein lechem chelek b'elokei Yisrael. They decreed right on the horn of an ox. Some of us learned about this on Sunday. That you have a portion in the God of Israel. That was the famous decree of the Greeks. Why the horn of an ox? So we mentioned on Sunday that Keren Hashur is Gematria Beis HaMikdash. Interesting. We mentioned that Keren Hashur represents the Chet Ha'el. We explained that a Keren is very hard, right? A horn is very hard. So it represents that the Chet Ha'el was a very serious Avera. But Keren is also, what's a horn? A horn is a crown. A horn is the crown. They wanted us to write on the crown, so to speak, of the ox, of Ashur, you don't have a portion of the God of Israel. They basically wanted us to take off our tefillin, and they wanted to steal the crown jewel out of Hashem's crown, out of the Keser Elyon. Ki kol milchamtam haisa amashi Yisrael im chelek Hashem amo, Yaakov chevel nachalaso. They wanted to deny that chelek, that connection. Kol Yisrael yeshlem chelek li'olam haba. The part of a Jew that's always connected. They wanted to separate that. So how did they do that? Chaver, let's scroll down a little bit. They primarily made three gezeros. They targeted Shabbos. They targeted Bris Milah. They targeted Rosh Chodesh. How do those three mitzvos show our bond to Hashem? Very simple. Shabbos, we know, is Beini Uvein Bnei Yisrael Osi Li Olam. Shabbos is an os, is a sign of the relationship that we have with Hashem forever, a goy shashavas is chayav misa. A non-Jew is not allowed to keep Shabbos. So Shabbos represents the oath, the bond that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a kesher nitzchi, he says, that connects us to Hashem. Number two, bris milah. What does the Torah say when Avram gets his bris milah? It doesn't say it exactly in these words. He's paraphrasing here. Umaltam es besara laschem ki os hi beini uveinechem. A couple letters are different. It says unamaltam, I think. Right? But the idea is right. If you look in Bereishis Yud Zayin, I wrote down the pasuk Yud Zayin Yud Aleph. Unamaltam es besara laschem ki os hi beini uveinechem. That bris milah is also an os beini uveinechem. It represents a relationship, a bris, a permanent covenant. You can't erase your bris milah. And thirdly, what was the third thing that they targeted? Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh. Why? Rosh Chodesh, the first mitzvah given to the Jewish people, certainly highlights the relationship that we have with Hashem. That Hashem entrusts us to what? To go outside, to look at the new moon, to identify it, to declare it Rosh Chodesh. And the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Hei, even if we mess up, even if we miscalculate, Hashem says, I paskin like you. So what an unbelievable relationship that we have with Hashem. Shabbos, that private time with Hashem. Bris Milah, how we mark our bodies exclusively to Hashem. How the whole calendar year, how time itself is structured in accordance with our decisions in Beis Din. And that partnership between Shemayim and Aretz to establish reality. Those three things that the Yevanim targeted, Shabbos, Milah, and Chodesh, again, all represent this relationship between the Keser Elyon, so to speak, above, and the Keser Malchus below. And now we understand why the Yevanim went after the oil. Why did the Yevanim go after the oil? The oil is the menorah. Why did they hate the menorah? What do you have against the menorah? What do you have against the menorah? It's beautiful. The menorah is beautiful. Source of light. What do you have against the menorah? That they came in and they were timu kol hashmanim shebeheichal. Why were they targeting the menorah? Why were they targeting the shemen, the oil? What does that represent? So he explains again very simply. You need to know one Gemara in Shabbos Daf Chav Beis. Shayavonim yadu, sha menorah hi edus shashchina shora b'Yisrael. What does the menorah represent? The Gemara says, Hashem doesn't need our light. Hashem doesn't need our menorah. So why does Hashem give us the mitzvah menorah? Hashem who provides light for the whole world. Hashem gave us a sun. Hashem, who is called in the Svarim HaKadoshim an infinite light. Hashem needs our little candle? And the answer is what? Yes. Hashem wants to have that relationship with us. Hashem wants the Keser Elyon to be expressed, v'shachanti b'socham, manifest in the world below. So that's exactly what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, the menorah serves as testimony that the Shechina is amongst us. Shebezeh tomon ha-koach ha-chazak b'yoser shel Yisrael. And therefore the Yevanim timu kol ha-shmanim. They didn't want us to light the menorah. They didn't want that expression, that clear expression in the Beis HaMikdash, that Hashem is with us and Hashem is amongst us. Okay? All right. Chavi, the hour is getting a little bit late. We're obviously not going to read the whole piece. We don't have time to do the whole piece. But let's just jump, if we can. Let's jump to... let's jump to where he quotes our Rebbe. Okay? We'll jump down to the bottom right-hand column on the second page. With this we can understand, and this you really need to understand, Tzalach HaLamaisa. With this we understand how Chanukah is really the conclusion in the writings of the Arizal and all the Sefer Chassidus. Chanukah is really the conclusion of the Yomim Noraim. That everything we started to work on Rosh Hashanah is really, in Pnimius, is culminating, is concluding on Chanukah. Zos Chanukah, the last day of Chanukah, is the Gemar HaChasima. The chosim of the Kohen Gadol. The last chance to go, so to speak, into the Kodesh Kadashim one more time. To ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu, to renegotiate. To put the finishing touches on your Gzar Din from Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Right? On Zos Chanukah, like it says, Bizos Yavo Aaron el Kodesh. Aaron a Kohen, Bizos, goes into Kodesh Kadashim, so to speak, one last time. Zos Chanukah, the eighth day of Chanukah. So explains the Nesiv HaShalom. With this we understand. Shegmar chsimas hadin, the conclusion of the din. Shetchilaso b'Rosh Hashanah mistayemes b'Chanukah. It concludes on Chanukah. She'oz hi hagmar hachsima tova. This is when we hope to finalize a year of life and a year of bracha and a year of parnasa and a year of all good things. Ruchnias and gashmias. as is explained by who? Our Rabbi, the Avodas Yisrael, the Magid of Koznitz, on the pasuk Ki Chok Li Yisrael Hu Mishpat Lelokei Yaakov. Shaha Mishpat Barash Hashana Hu Kiviyachol Al Hashem Yizbarach Elokei Yaakov. You know who's being judged in Rosh Hashanah? Hashem, as it were, is being judged in Rosh Hashanah. It's a mishpat for the God of Yaakov. Why is God on trial in Rosh Hashanah? Why is Hashem on trial? What does Hashem need to defend in the court case on Rosh Hashanah? Shah Sitra Achra To'enes, because the Yetzer Hara comes before Hashem and it says, Hashem, what a joke. You call yourself the God of Israel. You want to be the God of the Jewish people? Why would you want to do that? Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. The halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They're no better than the rest of the world. Umadua Hashem Yisparach Nikra Elokei Yaakov. Hashem is on trial to defend us. Why do you want to be the God of the Jewish people? Don't they disappoint you? Aren't you disappointed with their behavior? Why do you choose them? Why do you choose to be Mesiach Esal Yisrael? Why do you choose to associate yourself? This is who you choose? This is your first pick in the draft? You would never trade for anyone else? They're a bunch of sinners. They don't deserve your name. They don't deserve to be associated with your kingdom and your crown. And therefore, the Gemar HaDin, when we conclude and we prove through our efforts on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, concluding with Chanukah, when we light that little light, when we show Hashem, the big crown that you wear above is reflected, is radiating in the little crown that we wear down below, by the Gemar HaDin, who Yotze Kivyachol Zakai Bedin, Hashem, so to speak, defends his position, and we defend our position. We scream out, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And Hashem screams out, Mika Amcha Yisrael, Goy Echad Ba'aretz. And together, we defeat the Sitra Acha. And therefore, the Gemar Din Hu Bechanaka. Shebechanaka Nishlam Keser HaMalucha. Think about it. What is Rosh Hashanah all about? Crowning the king. When do we complete the crown? That's what we're learning today. When do we complete the crown? Chanukah is when we complete the crown. Chanukah mitzvah 620 is when we complete the crown. Mi ka'amchi so goy echad ba'aretz. The crown of a shachanti besocham. Hashem says, look how the Jews crowned me over this world down below. He quotes from the Beis Avram, who was the Rebbe of Slonim when he was a young man. He passed away in the 1930s. The Nesiv HaShom was born in 1911. So when he was, I guess, in his 20s, he was writing down the Torahs of the Beis Avram. So he says, the Beis Avram explained, Min ha-meitzar karasi ka, anani ba-merchav ka. We're going to say halal on Chanukah, of course. So listen to this. Min ha-meitzar karasi ka. Min ha-meitzar. What's the meitzar? When is the meitzar? Min ha-meitzar karasi ka. From the narrow straits, when I feel the pressure of the Yom HaDin. Heim ha-yamim ha-nuraim shehem yamei ha-din. It's a meitzar. There's tremendous pressure that we put on ourselves, and we should feel a pressure to correct ourselves. Min ha-meitzar. Also, think about the shofar. The shofar has a very narrow opening on one end, and it widens out on the other end. So from the narrow end, so to speak, of the shofar, min ha-meitzar, from Rosh Hashanah, I called out to you, Hashem. And when do we get our answer? The answer comes, b'merchav ka. Says the Beis Avram, b'merchav is gematria b'ner. When we get to the Ner Chanukah, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the answer. It's a process we've been working on since the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, to crown the king. But it's not enough to just have the Keser Elyon. We want to have that Keser Tachton, what we call again, the Keser Malchus. Last but not least, the final paragraph, a couple more lines. Uveyeser Amkus Yesh Lomer HaInyan. This last paragraph for today. Hine Matzinu Shekol HaNisim VaGiluyim Shehayu LiYisrael Hayu LaAcher Sheavru Cheshkus Gedol LaMikodem. However, the story of Jewish history is such that it's always darkness before light. It's always darkness before light. Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Voker. How does the Jewish day work? The Jewish day starts at night. Night followed by day. That's how our reality works. That's how it was, he says, in Mitzrayim. We were on the 49th level of Tumah. We were suffering to the point we were on the verge of destruction. And then all of a sudden, the Kadosh Baruch Hu swoops in, 10 Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf, next thing you know, we're standing at Har Sinai, the heavens open up, Ein Od Mavado, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Gevaldik. But we had to go through that Kor HaBarzel. We had to go through that difficulty in Mitzrayim to get there. The same thing he says was true when we were trapped at the Yam. We're standing at the Yam, the water's in front of us, the Mitzrim are behind us. The Jews are literally considering suicide, as the Midrashim tell us. They want to kill themselves. Some of them want to surrender and go back to Mitzrayim. It was a very, very pathetic and desperate situation. And all of a sudden, out of that unbelievable tension, the awesome miracle of Kriyas Yam Suf. The Jews march through, and everyone has this unbelievable Ruach HaKodesh, that Zekeli Van Veyu. They could point to God, it was so crystal clear. You have to be prepared to go through the dark in order to get to the light. The ultimate dark that we're experiencing for the last 2,000 years is Chorban Bayis Sheni. The ultimate darkness, what the Gemara, what the Medrash itself calls Choshech, is Yavan, right? Bereishis Bar Elokim, Esa Shemayim Beis Aretz, Hashem created the world, Tohu Vohu Choshech Al Pnei Sahom. Tohu, Galus Bavel. Bohu, Purim. Choshech, Yavan. The ultimate darkness is the darkness of Yavan. It's the ultimate darkness. Which means that on the other end of this darkness, Chanukah, which is the last mitzvah that takes us to Mashiach, as David HaMelech said, Arachti ner l'mashichi, that we're preparing the ner Chanukah, for Mashiach. It's Chanukah, it's a chinuch for Mashiach. Obviously, on the other end of this darkness is going to be the biggest light of all, the light of Geula. V'chein haya b'neis Chanukah, shemikodem chashchu eineyem shel Yisrael. The Yevanim, the Medrash says, darken the eyes of the Jews. Ulevesov haya gilu ha'or ha'gadol shel Chanukah. And therefore, of course, the response to Choshech is Or. The 25th word of the Torah is Or. After all the Choshech comes Or. The same thing is true in this period that we're living in now. Sort of the end of the Chanukah story, which we're still living in right now. The Ikvas of the Mashiach. Shekol kama shagilo yoser gadol, Rabbi Yoser hacheshkos mikodem. To the degree that it's going to be bright afterwards, a person has to be prepared to go through the darkness. The Ikvas of the Mashiach. Think about it, and I'll end with this. Think about the okev. Think about your heel. Think about the bottom of your foot. Is there any part of the body that experiences more darkness? Your foot is covered by a sock. It's covered by a shoe. It's stepped on all day. Right? It's as low to the ground as it could possibly be. Right? Even if you're walking around barefoot, the bottom of your foot doesn't get to see the sun. Hardened from being trampled for so long. It represents us, the Ikvas of the Mashiach. The generation that, so to speak, you know, sits in the dark, waiting for Mashiach, waiting for the light of Mashiach. But to the degree that we're prepared to sit in the dark, we're zocha to bask in the light. That's why the Sfarim tell us that the gematria of the word Ikvas of the Mashiach is 936. 936 is a big number. There's a lot of Ramazim about 936. But I'll just tell you one pasuk in the Navi that's 936. The Navi says, Ki eshev b'choshech Hashem orli. Ki eshev b'choshech, because I eshev, because I held on tight in the dark, Hashem orli. Ki Esha Bechoshech Hashem Orli is Gematria Ikvas of the Mashiach. 936. Because a Jew who is able to endure the darkness is going to be the one who is Zochet to the light. So Chanukah is our Yom Tov. It's the Keser Malchus that completes the Keser Elyon. It's what began on Rosh Hashanah is being concluded at the end of Chanukah. It's the last chance to go into the Kodesh Kedashim, to take that Pach Shemen, which was found in the dirt but had the seal of the Kohen Gadol, the highest and the lowest. The feet touching the head, like we said before. Mamish brings the whole story of Jewish history full circle. Okay, so Chavra, I hope you understand what we stand in front of. Two more nights from now. My son Yaakov is very busy. He's counting down the days till Chanukah. He's very excited. He gives me an update every day. How many more days till Chanukah? But we're almost there. We got to get very excited and understand the opportunity to finish crowning the king of the world.